We begin the current daf Masechta Baba Basra daf Mem. Begin on the bottom line after of Lamatasma Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf discussing the halachas of Mecha, that we said that even the Mecha Shalei B'fan of Rav Aser Nimr of Nachman does not have to be, it could be a valid Mecha even if it's Shalei B'fan of, even if it's not in front of the Machzik himself. Now that the Gemara had discussed regarding does it require to be done in front of only two people or even does it require three people. So that the Gemara begins, Rabbi says the name of Nachman, says this halacha, and it says three other halachas for a total of four halachas that he says that are a related concept that Rabbi says the name of Nachman. So Amar Rava Nachman. It says, Mecha b'fnei shnayim. So first of all, he passes like those who that Mecha only has to be made, even Shalei b'fonim, only in front of two people. Now as we continue on top of Mem and Aleph, Ve'ein tzarch lo'y mekesayvu. Now he doesn't have to tell the witnesses that to write a documentation. In other words, the witnesses themselves write what's called a shtar mecha, a document of protest that the ma'ar is making that he should have, that as a testimony that he had protested within 3 years. Now, this halacha is saying that even if he didn't tell them and command them to write a document, but since it's what's called a zchus, it's a merit for him to have such a document to prove that he made a mecha, so halacha is zachan l'adam shalei b'fanav, you could merit something for somebody even if he didn't tell you to do this, and without his permission, because we could assume that that's what he would like. So therefore, he doesn't have to tell them to write it, and they could write that shtar macha. Another case, somebody that was forced to sell his item and to give it to someone else against his will. And he has to write a document that he's selling it or gifting it to that other person in front of witnesses. So says Rava, in the name of Rav Nachman, that this maida, so he needs to make a notification before he actually sells this or gifts this, he has to make this maida b'fnei shnayim, in front of two witnesses, and tell them, I want you to know, that this sale or this gift that I'm going to give to this person that I want to do right now, it's actually not according to my will that I'm doing this, because I'm actually coerced and forced to do this against my will. And really, there should be no validity whatsoever for this document that I'm going to write, because today or tomorrow, I'm going to take him to court, and I'm going to contest this document that I made for selling it or gifting to him based on your words that you are hearing right now that I'm giving over in front of you this maida, this notification before the document is made that I'm not really agreeable to this, I'm just being forced into this. Now, as Rashbam points out, that obviously this halacha would only be that he can make this maida before the document is written, because after the document is written, then a maida, a notification, has no value whatsoever, because then any time a person ever writes a document and he later regrets what he did, then he'll be able to say, oh, I want you guys to know that I really didn't want to. Well, that doesn't help. You have to go ahead and do that beforehand. Then it's a valid maida, and then that will void the document that he will ultimately write. And here too, ve'in tzarch lo'y mekesayvu, he doesn't have to tell them to write this shtar maida, a document notifying that he had made a maida before he actually wrote that deed that he was selling or gifting to this person. Which the general rule of these two halachas are, because anything that's a merit for a person, the witnesses do not need permission to go ahead and write a documentation, because it's actually to his favor, to his merit. Now, so why wasn't these two halachas actually put into one big halacha? It should have said, including one of the other cases, Mecha, which was the first one, Maida, the second one, and Kinyan, only have to be done in front of two witnesses. And but regarding all these three cases, you don't have to tell them to write. So on that says Rashbam, because Rava, who said over these halachas in the name of Nachman, didn't hear all these halachas in one day. Rather, he heard all of these as independent halachas, and then Rava went and put them together, compiled them into one order as he heard it, but that's why it's all said individual as halachas. So first says each one, and what its halachas are. Continues Rava in the name of Nachman. Hayda. Someone that admits to his friend, that has to be b'fnei shnayim, in front of two people, that he owes him, let's say, a mana, he owes him like $100. And in this case, b'tzarch lo'y mekesayvu. So to be considered a valid hayda, an admission that the witnesses could then go and take it to court, that's enough for two people. But there, he has to tell them to write the document that the borrower is saying to write this document that I owe the lender, that he's telling the witnesses, where now whenever the lender wants to go ahead and collect his debt, he'll just be able to take out this document and collect from the borrower. So there he has to tell them to write, because if it's without the permission of the borrower, then actually they're not allowed to write, because here the admission that he's making, that although he's admitting he owes, but the writing of a document would actually be to his detriment, because since this is something that it's the borrower's responsibility to write, and he didn't command, you could say that actually he doesn't want him to write a documentation to the lender in the document that he owes him money. Why? Because without the document, it's only what's called a milva al peh. It's only considered an oral loan. He's admitting he owes the money, but it's an oral loan. Now, so although that he's admitting in front of witnesses, but he is believed now whenever he wants to come ahead and say that I paid up already. Because as the Gemara tells us later on, towards the end of the Masechta, Kaf Ayin Amud Aleph, that if someone lends his friend money even with witnesses, you don't need to pay back in front of witnesses. And he's believed to say he paid up. But now, if we're going to write a documentation for the lender, then the borrower is never going to be believed to say he paid up unless he brings witnesses that he paid up in front of them. And the reason is because even if the lender would only produce on the borrower just the handwriting of the borrower that he owes him money, so although there he wouldn't be allowed to collect from the Chasim and Shabbatim, but Nechasim and Necharin, the borrower's own assets, he'd be able to collect from him and the borrower wouldn't be able to say, I paid up. For sure, when there's a documentation with witnesses, and therefore since that's a chayv for him, although he's admitting to the money, but you can't write the document unless the borrower himself says, who is admitting to the debt, he says to write it. Kinyan, regarding a kinyan of Sudr, what's called a kinyan of Chalipin, which is the buyer gives a kerchief to the seller and automatically what the seller is selling to the borrower is automatically acquired to the borrower. So regarding any type of an acquisition of a kinyan of Sudr is Bifnei Shnayim. To make the valid sale, it's enough to be in front of two people. You don't need three people. Now, the reason why I have to say it's in front of two and not three is because since, as we'll see in the next case, we're going to keem shtaris, we're going to validating a document. You need to have three people. So that's why with all these cases, we have to say that it's enough with just two. And here, you don't need that he should tell him to write the documentation. As the Gemara will later explain why over here, where seemingly it's a chayv, we don't require that he has to tell him that to write a document, they can write it on their own. Another halacha from Rava in the name of Nachman is v'kimishtaris b'shleisha. To verify a document, you need to have three people. So if, let's say someone has a document that someone else owes him money. Now he's concerned that maybe the witnesses who are signed on this document will go overseas or will pass away. And then when it comes time for him to collect his debt with the document, the borrower is going to claim that it was paid up or it's a forged document. And then he's going to have to go ahead and verify his documentation with witnesses who recognize the signature of the witnesses who are signed on the document they might not find. So what should he do? So what he does is he goes to court and he brings the actual witnesses who testified in the document and they come to court and they verify in front of the court, in front of the bezdin, their own signatures. Then the court writes at the end of the document, beneath the signatures of the witnesses, that what's called b'maisav tlasa kachada avina, we were sitting here, us three, the judges, and this document came in front of us, and this such a person came, and these two people, and came and testified that these are their signatures, and we verify and we realize that what they did is appropriate, and then the three judges signed there on the bottom. That's what's known as a henpuk, or it's also called asharta didayni. It's the verification of the judges that this is a valid document. Now, that's why Kimshtaris needs to have three people, is because although that when there are two judges who judge and adjudicate a court case, it is a valid din. It's just called a bezn chatzav. It's called an audacious court because really you shouldn't have two, you should have three, as the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin. But here in this situation, even after the fact, even with the Eved, two would not be good. Because if that would be the case, then what would be the difference between what we call a hempik, which is a verified document, to a regular document which have two people signed on top of it? And now you're having, what, two people signed on the bottom of that? What that would be comparable to are when you have two witnesses who then say over their testimony to two other people and to say that, and now these two other people saying, oh, that we heard from these two witnesses that it's a shtar kasher. To the contrary, that actually would make it puzzle because aid me p'aid, if someone's saying testimony, because that's what it would be. It would be two people sitting and two people saying, oh, these are our signatures. Oh, so you two are telling us two that it's kosher? Oh, so now we are signing that these two people said that what they saw is kosher. That's witnesses telling other witnesses. That would be possible. Now, but when they're three, they're not just witnesses. They're our court. They're a bezdin. That is a valid testimony that they're verifying regarding the signatures that were brought in front of the court and that the court validated the document and now the court is signing on this document that it's kosher. It's like the bezdin is paskening. This is the halacha. It's already a kosher document. It's not just testimony of witnesses. They are a court. So that's why you need to have, in this case, three people. Says the Gemara, Simon Mamhak, or namanli to remember these three halachas that Rabbi said in the name of Nachman is Mem Mem Heikov Mamhak, which stands for the halacha Macha, Maida, the Haida, and the Kinyan. Now, on these four halachas that Rabbi said in the name of Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi, he says, Ikashli, if there is a difficulty to me in all these dinim that Rav Nachman told me, Hakashli, there's only one of the four halachas that bother me regarding the halacha of a kinyan, regarding when there is a transfer of an object through a sale, which he says a kinyan sudr, where the buyer give the seller a kerchief, and automatically the item is sold to the borrower. He says, that bothers me. Because hai kinyan hechidami, this case of a halachic transfer of a sale, to what type of halacha does Rav Nachman compare this to? And that is, ikamaisa bezdin dami, if a kinyan is comparable to an act of the court. Now, and the reason why it's comparable to an act of the court of judges is because essentially, when there's a sale, they're really doing the same thing judges do. They take it from one person, they give it to another person. So too, when you have witnesses verifying a kinyan, it's through their testimony that they see the kinyan, that now the money is going out at the time of the kinyan from the hands of the makna, the one who's selling it, to the hands of the kinyan, the one who's buying it. So since it's similar to an act of the court, so that's where Rav Nachman says, that they don't have to tell the ones who are verifying it to write the documentation, because although that it's a liability to the seller to write a document, which is making it better now that the consumer now has a documentation, still the witnesses could write it without his permission, because it's like an act of the court of the Bezdin, where the courts have that ability, where they are could even be mafkir someone's money, and they could write whatever's done in front of them even without permission, even if it's going to be a liability, because that's what the judges do. They write what is. Now, but if that's the case, ask Rabba, then libayit losam, then just like an act of the court, as we said by Kim Shtaris, needs to have three people, then why by Kinyan does Rav Nachman say it's enough for two? If it's like a Maisa Bezdin, it should require three. And if you go the other way, Eloika Maisa Bezdin Dami, then if you're going to say that it's not like an act of the court, and that's why it's enough with two people, not three, then Amayin Etzarech Lemekesayva, then why do you not require that the seller should have to tell the witnesses to write the documentation? But it's a liability for him to write it without his permission, and therefore how they allow to go ahead and write it if it's going to be a chayv. It should require his permission. Says the Gemara, Basad the Bayi Had the Pashta. After Rava asked the question, he resolved it. He says, La'ilam lav kamaisa Bezdin Dami. Truth is, it's not comparable to an act of the court of Bezdin, and that's why it's enough with just two people. Now, Bahacha time amai de'in etzarech lemekasayva. So what's the reason why it doesn't require him to tell them to write it? Is mishum destam kinyan liksivaimit, is because generally a kinyan is established for the purposes of writing it down. So generally they're just like witnesses, and that's why it's number two. But since when you do a kinyan sudr in front of Edim, there's really nothing that has to still be done after the kinyan, because it is what's one of the most automatic acquisitions that there are. Because generally, one requires, let's say, by a movable item to do meshicha, or let's say by karka, that the guy has to go ahead and go onto the land and do a chazaka. But here, what he's doing with a sudr is the fastest thing. The buyer just takes off his kerchief, gives it to the buyer, takes his kerchief, gives it to the seller, and automatically, it's one of the most magnanimous types of kinyan that the seller could do. So therefore, we assume that he wants that it should be written, a document, because he wants to give it to him. He's trying to make it as convenient for him as possible. He wants him to have the ultimate type of kinyan, which is with a documentation. As Gemara says himself, Subis Perak Afalpe, and Lefnon Hamad Aleph, that if someone tells witnesses, write it and sign it and give it to this guy, would I want to give it to him, and they make the acquisition, they don't have to consult with him anymore, do you want to write the documentation that maybe changed his mind? Because again, generally we assume that a kinyan that's done is being given over to be written up. But if there was no kinyan done, then you're right, there is a mandam over there that says that they would have to consult with him right now, because although he explicitly told him, but maybe he had retracted. So therefore, but here we were saying the kinyan was already done, it's one of the fastest kinyanim, we could assume that although it's a chayv, but it's like siva aymed, and that's why he doesn't have to tell them, because he doesn't have to tell them to write it. The Gemara continues on one of these halachas that were mentioned by Rav Nachman regarding the halacha of Maida. So Rabbi Rav Yosef Damer Tavaya, they both said, look, we do not write this Maida again, which is this notification from the one who's giving or selling his thing, that he wants them to know that, look, I don't really want to do this. I'm being coerced into this. So I'm notifying you before and so that it should be void. So they both say that we don't write this Maida, Ela Aman de Loitzai is Dina, only if the one that he's selling it to or gifting it to is someone that doesn't usually listen to the courts and refuses to listen to what the Bezin tells them. So, because what Rabbi and Rabbi Yisrael are both saying, because if he's someone that listens to what the court says, then why should you do a Maidah? Then you weren't forced, because if you were being forced, then why don't you just take him to court? And he would listen to what the court tells him. So we only write a Maidah for someone that, yeah, he wouldn't listen, so we'll listen, we're going to hear what you have to say, and we'll write it down, because really being forced. But someone that would listen to the courts, then you're not being forced, just take him to court. They disagree. They say, no, afila alive alecha, even on us and on you, which we listen to the courts, it would still be fit on people like us, that the one who's selling it to us or gift it to us would be allowed to write a Maidah. Because sometimes courts are not ready immediately. Where the guy's doing a sale now at 11 o'clock at night, there's no court to take him to, and he's being forced into it. So he says, guys, I want you to know, I don't want to do this, and I'm feeling coerced into this. He could give a Maidah, even on someone who technically, if their court was open, would listen, and then he wouldn't have to do a Maidah. He would just take him to court, and he wouldn't go ahead and do this sale or this gift. Continuing on this halacha, Amar Na'adai, Na'adai say that, kol Maidah, any Maidah, as we continue to Amad Beis, the like Sivbe, that doesn't have written in the Maidah, Ananya dinan bebo into the planya, the witnesses who are verifying that they were told beforehand that this was being a coercion. If they don't write that we know exactly that what is the coercion of this guy, meaning that we know that what he's being forced into, why is it being, is an anus that he's being totally forced into. If they don't write this, rather they just write that this guy told us he's being forced, he notified us and we're signed that he told us. And that says, that's not a notification. That's not good enough. You can't just have a guy say and then go ahead and do a deal. He's got to tell us exactly. So he's like, wow, that's so true. Of course they're being forced. And then they could go ahead and make the Maidah, which would then void the later document that he's going to write. And this halacha the Gemara asks, Maidah demai. When he's making a notification of to void, of what? What's he about to do? And that's the Gemara says, if the Maidah is regarding that he's about to give over digita, a divorce document, Udimat Nasa, or a gift, meaning he's about to give a get. But he's being forced into it. What's he supposed to do? But he doesn't really want to give it. So he's telling witnesses before, and he says, look, you know, I'm being forced into it. And that is what the halacha says, but he's got to tell them exactly what the details are, or else that's not good enough. And that says the Gemara, that's not true. That you wouldn't need all that then. Because rather, once he notifies the witnesses that this get that I'm about to give to my wife, I'm forced, and I don't want to give it willingly. So therefore, you should know that I'm voiding it in front of you before I even give it, or same thing regarding the case of the gift. I'm about to gift this guy to something, but I'm being forced into it. And I'm not gifting it willingly. I want it to be void. So then the question is, even if the witnesses do not know exactly the premise of what he's been of the coercion, still the get and the matana should be void. Why? Because giluy milsa ba'amahi. All you need is for him to reveal his intention that he's, in other words, Gilu Milsim means to say, he doesn't care if people hear about it or not. In other words, it's logical to say that it's he's coerced. Why? In other words, his words mean to say, when he say Gilu Milsim Alma, is that many people could find out about him being forced in. Because in this case, when he's gifting something or when he's giving a get, he's not receiving anything in return, not getting any money for it. When he's giving a gift or a get. Now, if it was true that he wanted to give it, meaning we're trying to say that, why do you have to save the details? Because maybe it's not really true. Maybe he really did want to give it. But on that says the Gemara, if it's regarding a get or matana, it's not true. If he really wanted to give it, then why is he giving a maidah? And if he doesn't want to give it, so then why is he giving the get or the matana? Rather, obviously, because he's being forced in to give the get or the matana, and that's why he doesn't have to specify what is, and that's the most question, as he wouldn't have to specify what his coercion is. Because you cannot compare it to what the Gemara's next case is going to say, to a sale, because yeah, there you have to specify, because there you could say that generally a seller doesn't really want to sell. He only sells a lot of times because he doesn't have enough money, so he's got to sell off some stuff. Now, there you could say that he would want to make a Maidah because he thinks, you know what? Today or tomorrow, when I'll finally get money, I'll go and I'll produce this Maidah that I wrote before I sold it to him, and I'm going to bring it to court, I'm going to get my land back, and then I'll give him back his money. So therefore, you can't just write a Maidah because then you're always going to do it as like insurance. You'll be able to get back what you sold. But here in this case, if he wanted from his own to give the get or the matana without an oinus, so then why would he write a maidah for no reason? Don't give the get, and you won't have to write the maidah. Rather, it's obvious that he's being forced into it. Now, that's why, says Rashbam, that regarding by a gittin they instituted, that you're not allowed to write a get until he voids all his maidas that he's going to place upon his giving of the get, because again, by a get, it really is enough. If it just gives a maidah, it doesn't have to give the specifics of that. So the Gemara asks, if it's regarding a gifting or a get, then it's just revealing. You don't need to have a reasoning for why, because he doesn't have to give it if he doesn't want to. So why would you need to specify over there? And then the Gemara says in Be'idizvini, and if you're going to say it's regarding a sale, where he tells us beforehand that he's being forced into selling this thing, and therefore you're saying that it's not going to be considered a valid maidah until the witnesses can testify that they recognize exactly what this guy is being forced into, because there you could actually say that no, he's actually not being forced. It's just that right now he needs the money, and he's thinking to himself, the seller, that okay, today or tomorrow, I'll be able to regret what I did regarding the sale, I'll get my money back, and I'll get my land back, and I'll give him back the money. So therefore, let me write on my door right now to, just in case for insurance, void the sale that I'm doing for him. And that has the Gemara, but there the question is the other way around. But V'amar Rabbi says, Lo kasvina maidah zvini. You can't even write a maidah on a sale. So what are you saying, that regarding a sale, you got to specify what the maidah is for, but you can't even write a maidah in the first place? Now, why does Rabbi say you can't write a maidah at all on a sale? So Rashbam explains what he thinks is the understanding of Rabbi's halacha, is because later on in the paragraph of Mechesim and Alf, Rabbi says, the halacha is if what's called talu v'zabin, if someone is forced, he's compelled to make a sale, so his sale is a sale. Now, the Gemara says that that's only if he was compelled to sell a field, just a field, where they're forcing him to sell one of his fields. Now, then he then selects one of the fields and sells that. That's not an oinus, because he chose one. But when he's being compelled to sell this field and he sells it, then it's not going to be a valid sale. Now, says Rashbam, that's why Rabbi holds that you cannot write a maidah on a sale, because either way you look at it, if he was being compelled to sell this field, well, then it's not even a sale in the first place. It doesn't even need to have a maidah. He could just bring witnesses to show that he was forced and he was compelled, and that automatically would void the sale document without any special maidah. And actually, if he was forced to sell a field, one of his fields, then actually it is a valid sale. And there's not going to be the claim of oinus regarding the field, because again, he from his own selected one of the fields and he sold it, and therefore the maidah that he would write would anyways be an invalid maidah. Because a maidah without being forced, where in this case we're not considering him forced because he picked out one field, is nothing. Now, however, Rashbam points out, Rav Huna says later on, also this halacha of tluy v'zobin zvini zvini, that he says that, but regard, we see that he holds actually that a maidah is kosher on a sale, is because he doesn't hold up this logic of Rava. But Rava holds that you don't write a maidah on Zvini. So the question is, so then what is the halacha that you have to specify? By get a matana, you shouldn't have to specify, and by a sale, you don't even have a maidah to have to specify regarding it. So the Gemara says, no, lo im dizvini. The halacha was said regarding a sale, and maidi Rava, Rava agrees, heicha da anis, that there are situations that where he is forced, Ukamaisa de Pardesa, like the story regarding the orchard, which is brought shortly, where there, since the seller is afraid that he's going to lose his whole orchard totally without getting any money, so that's why he sells it. But really, he did not intend and didn't want to sell it. It's just that he was wanted to save what he could because of the fear that he was being threatened, he was being manipulated and blackmailed. Where there is a halacha that even Rav would agree that you do write a maidah on that type of a sale, because there he has no other option to do. Because if he's not going to sell it, as we'll shortly see, then if the ma'ar is not going to sell it to the machzik, then he's going to cause a total loss from the machzik to the ma'ar with his claims that he could claim. Whereas, because in this type of situation, that's when Na'ardai said that, okay, there it is going to be a valid maidah, but... And that maidah, the witnesses have the right that we know exactly, but what was the exact specifics of the oinus gamer that the seller was in this situation? What case is this like? The who gavred the mashkin pardes lechavrit letlashin, a certain person that gave his orchard as a mashkin, as collateral security for a loan that he was owing to this person for a period of 3 years. Now, basad the achlat lashnei chazaka. Now, that after the lender now already had consumed, used the property that he had as security for 3 years. So Amar, he said now to the borrower like this. He says, look, imazvanas limutav. If you sell me this field, good, fine. I won't steal it from you. I'll buy it from you. I want this field. I'll pay you for it. Now, beveiloi, here comes the threat. If not, kevishna l'shtar mashkanta, I'll conceal the document that proves that this is just security by me. V'amin l'kuchi b'yadi. And I'll say, I bought this field because I've been here for 3 years. No one said anything. No one ever protested. No, he didn't protest because it was security. But no one knows that. And he's going to just hide that document. And he could claim he bought it and he'll be believed. So that says the Gemara, k'hai gavna kesavin meida. That is where Rava would agree that although it's a sale, that then the witnesses would write a meida. But again, that's what the halach of meida is. However, but then they have to specify exactly what was the meida about. What was the einus gamar about? Now, Rabbeinu Chanan explains that how exactly do the witnesses know regarding the einus of the owner of the orchard? Because if it was in front of witnesses that the machzik told these claims to the ma'ar, which was basically the threat, and witnesses heard that, then you don't need to have a meida. Rather, let them just testify that they heard from the mouth of the machzik that he's coming he's going to blackmail him, come of a roundabout way to the Bala Paradis, and then the owner of the Paradis could just take his own. He wouldn't need to have a meida. So therefore, Rabbeinu Chanan explains the case as follows. The owner of the orchard comes to witnesses, and he tells them, tells them the whole thing that's going on. That this guy wants to steal his orchard from him with his claims that he's going to claim that he bought it when he really only had it as security. So he tells the witnesses as follows. He says, look, let me tell you my plan. I am going to go ahead and claim my field from this guy in front of you. Now, he's going to hear from me, and he's going to tell me in front of you that he bought it from me. And that's what he's going to say, because two witnesses are there. He's going to say, what do you mean I bought it from you? I'm already here 3 years. And that he doesn't owe me any money. Now, then I'm going to go to him afterwards, silently, lightly at night, because this guy doesn't really want to be a thief, but he really wants his field, so he's feeling compelled to do this. I'm going to go to him later on. I'm going to tell him in quiet that, look, I'll sell you the field. I realize I have nothing on you. You could just totally deny. I'll sell it to you. So this guy's going to be excited because he doesn't really want to steal it. He's going to tell me, fine, you do all the legwork. You go ahead and write the sale document on your own, because as a Mishnah elsewhere teaches us later on in the Kaf Samach Zayin Mabez, that a document could be written for a seller even if the buyer is not with him. And then he says, then bring me the document and then I'll give you the money. Now, after he has this conversation with this guy who's taking possession of his field, he goes and tells the witnesses what this guy told him, that he should go ahead and write a sale document for the sale that they're going to do. And that's what he does. Now, before he writes and he gives the document over of the sale to the machzik, he tells the witnesses, you guys heard that he claimed that he bought this field already from me, and that's why he's been in this field for the past 3 years. Not as a mashkin, but rather because he bought it from me. Now, but I'm about to write now a sale document, like I had this conversation privately with him, and I wrote it already on my own, and I'm going to get money for it. But now I'm giving over a notice in front of you that I don't really want to sell this orchard. It's only because he's going to deny that he had up until now as a mashkin. And then he goes and he brings him to court, and he says, I'm going to take him to court, I'm going to get my money back, because he's going to show the sale document, which is going to be from today's date. Then, after he shows that, look, this guy sold it to me, he's going to show the documentation, I'm going to take out the Meida in front of him, which already voids it from before that date, which is already saying that you guys know about what he's trying to do for me. And he's not going to think to make the claim that, oh, no, it's his because he already had been there for 3 years without anyone saying anything, which was before this document, because he's going to think, why should I say that? I have a document that he sold it to me. But the problem is, once he produces that, I'm going to bring out the Shtar Meida that you guys already had known about his plot, and that it was already my dub before I even sold it to him. That case is what Rava says, that way if he would lose everything if he wouldn't make the sale, there Rava agrees that you write a Maida, and it's regarding that type of case, that when you write a Maida, but then the witnesses have to know exactly the specifics regarding what exactly is the details of the Einus Gamar, like in this case where they knew that, yeah, he would be stuck, but he wouldn't have any other options. He would lose everything, so he had to sell it. But again, he'll be able to get back later on in court his field and give the guy back his money because he really didn't want to sell it at all. Now the Gemara continues in a related discussion. Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, "Hay matnasa temirta." This concealed gift, which the Gemara is going to shortly explain what this is, lo magvinaba. The guy who gets this hidden gift, this document of the gift, which was hidden, cannot be collected with. Now, the reason for this is because maybe he actually already once gave it to someone, and that's why this gift that he's giving to him, he's doing it in private. Or actually, the reason why he's doing it in private to write this document of gift to this person is because he actually wants to, which is a continuation of the previous Gemara's discussion, let it be a Maidah for the next person that he's giving it to. So in other words, he's writing this secret document where no one should know about it, that he's gifting this thing to the person. Maybe why he's doing it is only because he just wants that when he's going to ultimately sell it to someone else, they'll be say, oh, I sold to you. What, I have this Maidah, I have a notification, I already gave it to someone else a few weeks ago. So therefore, says the Gemara, for either reason, this is a void document. This is not going to be valid. We don't want it. This is a problem type of a gift. So the Gemara says, Heicha dama matnasa tamirta, what is considered a concealed gift? What are we talking about? So Amar Abayis, it says, da'amalu l'sahadis, where he tells witnesses, zilu atmuru, go ahead, I want you guys to conceal yourselves, but possibly, and in hiding, I want you to write this document that I'm gifting this as a gift. They'll say a little bit different. The Amar Rabbi Yisuf says, not that he told them to write in private, it's just that he didn't tell them to go out into the streets and outside and write it. He didn't tell them to write it out in the open. Rather, he just said to go and write it. What's the difference between these two different interpretations? The difference is that he just tells them, write it, and he doesn't say to hide. But he also doesn't tell them to go out into the street and write it. So according to the first version of Yisrael, it would be kosher, because it didn't say to hide. According to the second version, it would be possible, because he has to tell them to go out in the open and write it. Now, Amar Rava, he says, although that we said that this is not a valid document, it's not a valid gift, because there's something suspicious. Why is he telling us to do it in private? Very likely it's because he only wants it to be a Maidah for something later on, which would also be problematic because no one knows about this, or because he actually wants to give it to someone else, and therefore, although he's giving it to someone else now, it's not good because it's really someone else's. Either way, this is something fishy, we can't use it. But says Rava, he says, Fahavya, but this matana tmirta, this hidden gift, is a Maidah l'chaverta. Ultimately, it will be a notification to void the next person who's going to get a document of a sale or of a gift that was written, a regular document after this one, for this field for someone else, it's going to be void, the second one. And that's what Rava says. That's why he wrote this hidden gift, because he didn't actually want that this second person that he's selling it to should be considered a gift. He doesn't want it to go to the other person. So he wanted to first have, like, it's already that whatever he's going to do from this point on with this field is already voided. And the way he did it was because by writing this hidden gift, which is like essentially like a Maidah, notifying that this is already taken, it was already given to someone else. And it was done, and it will work, says Rava, as a Maidah for the second person's document. Yeah, that says Amar Papa, he says, Hadar Rava. This halacha of Rava actually was lav beferish Amar. Rava did not say explicitly that when there's a matana tmirta written, that it's going to function as a Maidah for the next regular document that's written for this field, and that second document should be void. It actually was inferred from an incident that happened, and what Rav Papa is essentially saying is, and therefore whoever inferred this was inferring an error, because Rava did not hold that that's really true, that a matana tmirta will function as a Maidah. Actually, it will not. It's just that in that incident, which seemed like that, the second one was being voided by this first secret hidden document. Now, what was the actual story? Now, who gavered the Azla Kedusha Itzit? There was a certain man that went to engage a woman. Now, Amrlei, the woman said to the man as follows. He said, look, if you write over to me all your assets to me, I'll get married to you. But if not, I'm not going to get married to you. Write over everything you own to me, and then we'll get married. So Azla Kasva went to write all the documents, all his properties in the document to his wife. Now Asabre Kashisha, now his oldest son, came to him before his father wrote the document to his new wife. Amalei, he said to his father, Vahu Gava, that man, meaning referring to himself, Matahavala, what's going to be with him? You're writing over everything you had, we were expecting to get from you, you're writing it all over to this woman who's going to be your wife. So Amalul Asadi, so this man said to witnesses before he wrote the document to his new wife, Zilu Atmur ba'Avyamina, go ahead, conceal yourself in this place, Avyamina, the Kasvale, and actually I want you to write over all my properties to my son, and his document will be written first, and then he'll get everything, and then I'm going to write over everything to my new wife, which I really don't have anything anymore because I already gave it all to my son. Now, after this was done, Asla Kameh de Rabba, they came in front of Rabba. Amalahu, he said to them, Loi Markana, neither has the son acquired all the properties of his father because this is what's called a Matana Temirta. He wrote it to him in private. And as we said, Matana Temirta is not valid as a gift document. But V'loy Markana, and neither has the woman acquired all the assets of her new husband, because seemingly, that's what we had assumed that that's the halacha of Rava, the first gift was a Matana Temirta, which functions as a Maida to void any future gifts on this field, which is all his assets. So says the Gemara, Manda Chaza Sabbath, the one who saw this psak of Rabba thought, Mishum Nehavi Maida L'Chaverta, because this Matana Temirta functions as a Maida to any other later documents. And that's a Papa Velohi, but that's actually not the case. That actually, a Matana Temirta is like it's non-existent, and it's actually not going to function as a Maida. And generally, the second document would be kosher. But Hasa Mucha Milsa, but it was obvious from the incident that Machmas Einasahu the Kasav, it was only because he felt compelled that he wrote over all his assets to his new wife, but he didn't want to, because the only way was that she's not going to want to get married to him unless he writes over all his assets. So therefore, it wasn't wholeheartedly that he was going to write it over. It was only actually as a ploy to get married to her, and then he would retract. So therefore, over there, we said that the first document was going to work as a Maida, because it really wasn't the Matana Temirta was functioning as a Maida. It was the surrounding context which was showing that he really didn't want to give it to her, and therefore, it's like a Maida, and therefore, she didn't get it. Aval Hacha, but over here, meaning in general, when there is no Tainus Einus against the second regular gift, Matana document that is written for the second person, then the Matana Temirta that was written first would not function as a Maida for the second one to say, which was done in the regular kosher way to void it. Because by the first one, he didn't want to make a kinyan in general when it's a Matana Temirta, and that's why he made it Temirta. So therefore, over here, Mar, by the last document that he's making as a regular document, Nichele Denikle, he wants to give it over as a kinyan. But the first one, he doesn't want it to function, and that's why it's a Matana Temirta. And therefore, what we learn from here is that actually Matana Temirta, Rav Papa is saying, is does not function as a Maida for the second document. It's only where there's an element of Einus in the second document, like here by this wife, where it's obvious that he was feeling compelled to, then we say that, okay, it's going to function as some type of Maida for the second document. But without an Einus regarding the second situation, where it was a regular gift document to a second person, we said that he's pleased with doing the Kinyan, and the first one that he did as a Matana Temirta is not going to create as a Maida for the second one. So now the Gemara concludes this discussion of the Halacha of Rav Yosef by saying Ibailut. So the following question as we continue on top of Memal from Menalv. So Stamamai. So what is the Halacha if, again, because there were two different versions in what Rav Yosef had said, that and the difference we said between them is if he says Stam, if he doesn't specify either way, where he doesn't say hide, but neither does he say it out, you know, write it out in the open. Where one version said it's going to be possible, one version said it's going to be kosher, and therefore the Gemara is concluding this discussion by asking, so on what do we rely, if he just says go and write this document of a gift, and he doesn't say go out into the streets and the open and write it, but neither does he say go out and do it in hiding, is it going to be considered Matana Temirta and invalid or not? So that says the Gemara, Machlekes, Ravina Amar Leicheshin. It says, we're not concerned. In other words, it's not considered a Matana Temirta, rather it's kosher. He says, write it. It means write it in the regular kosher way. Ravashi Amar Leicheshin. Ravashi says, no, we're concerned, because since he didn't say go out and write it out in the open, we're concerned that on some level it's like a Matana Temirta, and therefore you cannot use to collect with it. And on some level it's considered invalid. But however, as Rashbam points out, even according to Ravashi, if it is used to collect, then we wouldn't undo that and make him give it back, because that's why the words of Ravashi are precise, where he doesn't say loy magvina, it doesn't say we don't collect with it, rather his words are chashina, we're concerned, meaning it's a situation of doubt, and therefore wherever it is, that's where it maintains its status quo. So if it wasn't collected yet, then we're concerned and you don't collect with it. But if it was collected already, then neither do we take it away from that person either. And concludes the Gemara, v'hichas ha-chashin. And the halacha is that we are concerned, and we don't collect with it. And therefore, when they're coming to write a document, he has to say, and they have to write this in the document, that he told us to write it out in the street, out in the open. Now, Rashbam points out, however, this is even if he didn't tell them that word. He just said, write a shtar matana. But what he meant to say was, write it the way the Chacham were Mesakin, which was to be able to write it out in the streets in the open, and that's what they write in the documentation, because that's what makes it into a valid document. But we are concerned for the Halacha of Ravashi, which is that, like that version of Rabbi Yosef, where he just says, write, that it might be like a matana timirta, and therefore they have to write in the document that it was, even that we could write it out in the open, then it's a valid document, which can be used initially to go ahead and collect with.